So, my friends, we've seen that God calls us and that knowing us beforehand, he predetermines our future. But let's look now at how he does this specifically. I mean, how did God call you? This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News. My friends, let me remind you, your mind, my mind, we all need good news every day. Try to listen to this broadcast Monday through Friday on KLTT, 10 o'clock in the evening, repeated at 4 in the morning. If you can't catch it then, go to my website, faithquestradio.com. That is faithquestradio.com, where you can hear the broadcasts any time of the day or night. What we are doing is training our faith, my friends, so that we might intercept the struggles we go through and stand before the Lord with confidence and boldness, even when we're broken down, even when we have sinned and failed, even when we are struggling with addictions. And furthermore, we can learn by faith how to intercept those struggles so that the addictive struggle has less control, less power, perhaps goes away altogether or diminishes greatly. Now we're looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And I hope I made it clear by last week's broadcasts that you needn't be afraid of this passage. Rather, you can be very, very encouraged by this passage, because it is not you who chose God, but God who chose you. And in fact, he has chosen all the world, predetermined that all the world shall be saved. The great tragedy is that some people and many people reject that salvation. But now, you see, let's go into some detail on this passage now. How did he call you? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How did he work all that out, that everything should work together for good to those who believe in him and therefore love him? I mean, that's a curious thing, isn't it? Is it that you picked up a leaflet one day and saw a message about Jesus? Is it that somebody took you to a Bible study or church one day or a crusade? Well, my friends, first of all, we need to know this, that verses 29 and 30, you know, the ones that talk about foreknowing and predestining and what have you, those are sort of dependent clauses, although they're not clauses in the literal grammatical sense, but they are dependent upon the statement that God called us in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who are called. And then it says, for whom he knew, foreknew he predestined. In other words, the predestining, the foreknowing and the predestining is one of the ways in which God calls us and works all things out for our good. So, we know from these scriptures that our Heavenly Father, and this is a glorious thing, and our Savior Jesus, the Trinity, knew of our existence, not simply by knowing it, but by being intimately involved with it before we were ever born. That is something that is wonderful to be assured of. Some people said, I never asked to come into this life. No, it's true, you didn't. But God predetermined it. God was there and very much involved. You remember Psalm 139? For you formed me in my inward parts. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Notice that in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Now that, my friends, Psalm 139 alone, tells you and me how to respond to our lives, to our tragedies, to the joys that have gone on, and the sorrows and the griefs and everything, that they were all known by God before they ever happened. It did not surprise him. He was not shocked. In fact, he was in charge and in control of them. They were all written in his book. It's not that we are fated, because, as I said, we can turn down his predestined plan for us. We can reject it. And tragically, so many do. But those of us who have chosen to believe and trust, we know that nothing surprises God, and nothing that we are going through is a shock to him. And he will not, listen to me, he will not let it get in the way of his predetermined plan of salvation for us as long as we trust. That is so wonderfully reassuring. Now, we have all gone through tragedies. Some of you may have gone through childhood abuse. Some of you may have been raped. Some of you may have had a very abusive parent. Some of you may have had a parent who died. Perhaps some of you are orphans. And you look back on these events as tragedies in your life, many of which have created addictions. You remember that if a person has gone through great wounds, the pain of those wounds is so great that he seeks to escape from them, and the escapes become habits that turn into another form of reality in which he becomes addicted. Now, what is all that? Is that God having abandoned you, having forgotten you? No. If you understand this passage well, all things work together for good to those who trust him and therefore love him. It means that those tragedies, those crises, those sorrows and griefs and bereavements, they are instruments by which God called you. Listen, my friends, the other night, as I was sleeping, there's a skylight in my bedroom, and at certain points in the month, I can see the moon pass across that skylight, and sometimes it wakes me up in the middle of the night. And it did the other night. And the moon, it was a half moon, and it looked very misty and cold and distant and isolated and alone. And it reminded me of the years of my boyhood. I had a happy childhood in many ways, but the polio that I had, which I got at the age of one, and led to a skeletal leg, a thin leg in my right leg, embarrassed me greatly from about the age of eight onwards. And somehow it affected my psyche, and I felt very isolated and different and alone. Somehow it affected my sense of life and being and the universe. I would often look out with my dad's binoculars, propped on a yardstick, and I would look out at the moon and the stars, and I would wonder why everything seemed so far apart and seemed so lonely and cold and isolated. The universe somehow seemed to reflect my aloneness. That aloneness stayed with me for years. And it was that, along with the struggle with homosexuality, which also gave me a sense of difference and isolation and not being connected, those two great tragedies and struggles of my life led me to walk into a meeting one day when I was 15 years of age called Man from Another World. I've told you about it many times. I thought it was a lecture on flying saucers. But in fact, it was a preacher giving the message of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It was awesome and wonderful and beautiful to me. The fact that there was a God in the universe, a Father who was at home, and that he was bringing his kingdom to the earth one day, that which we would all inherit if we trusted and believed. And I believed it straight away, and I felt at home at last in the universe, a 15-year-old lonely boy. Now, my friends, what did that tell me, and what does it tell me today? It tells me that God uses our tragedies to highlight our isolation so that we will be drawn by his tender calls from his Spirit through the Word, through circumstances of life. That's how it works, my friends. Please change your view of the tragedies of your life. Let this be a change that is exercised by faith. Do not say, "Where was God when that happened? Where was God when this happened? I feel as though he has passed me by." Don't let that kind of thinking remain in your mind anymore. Rather, go before your Father in a moment of quietude and say to your God, "Father in heaven, I've been seeing all of this wrongly. I praise and thank you that through my tragedies you have called me, and therefore they have worked together for good." There's a bit of a difference, my friends, in this next seminar coming up. It's a 4-hour seminar instead of a 6.5-hour seminar. 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon instead of 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, and no lunch break. Bring your own lunch, coffee and juice provided. What's this all about then? Well, it's called Jesus and Addiction, and I'm attempting to reach out to some of the younger generation or some of the people that have never attended this seminar before or heard this radio broadcast or anything about Faith Quest Perspectives. I'm hoping that you will be willing to distribute a few flyers that you can get from me if you call me at 303-738-8694, 303-738-8694. Distribute them to your friends or your neighbors or your relatives, your loved ones, or join me on the street one day. Just arrange to meet me and we will go on the street for an hour and just distribute them here and there. 303-738-8694. This is what this seminar flyer says. "There's an old man here who could help you young guys and girls along with a thing or two. If you're using and can't stop, if you're into a habit that's harming you, your friends, your future, if you've become disappointed in yourself and fear God might have given up on you, let this old man tell you a thing or two about Jesus and addiction. This isn't about Jesus saves, it's about how Jesus helps. You don't have to be religious. Come to understand yourself. Learn what addiction really is and how God can help you when you're addicted or you feel hopeless. Got to the place where you might be ready for this? Then spend a morning with me and expect the unexpected." And of course, my friends, you know that the seminar is at La Quinta Inn. It's 7190 West Hampden Avenue, the south frontage road of West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. And it's on Saturday, the 25th of January, as I said, 10 to 2. Bring your own lunch, coffee, and juice provided. Now, I very much hope that regular listeners will come, because you are the backbone of the ministry as far as the finances are concerned, and you can help with your donations. Also, it's good for the younger ones to see some of the regular ones there, the more seasoned ones, okay, the elderly ones or the middle-aged ones too, because that adds security to them and you might be able to just help them to feel welcome. So do come along too. Jesus and Addiction. That's 10 to 2. Bring your own lunch, coffee and juices provided at La Quinta Inn, January the 25th, Saturday. Jesus and Addiction. And this will be a very lively discussion and study, my friends. I'm sure you will find that. All right, I look forward to seeing you. Call me if you want to distribute some flyers. See you next time, my friends. Cheerio and God bless.